I am Izell Robinson, Minnesota inmate number 210006. Today I'm picking up with part two of the interview with my Aunt Rosie, who was formerly in the Army and was a sergeant in the Army and formerly worked for the Department of Corrections in Illinois. And like I said last time, you know, I want to thank you for your service to this country. Would you like to introduce yourself again?
Hi, my name is Rosie. I did 9 years in the military, 14 years Department of Corrections. I'm happily retired from the state of Illinois.
So today I wanted to take a different turn with our questions and talk a little bit about some things about me and my childhood and growing up and other things that's affected me that you had a part in knowing about. So the first question I want to ask you is, I know that at one point you were interested in adopting me when I was a child. So I wanted to know what influenced your desire for that and what challenges had you noticed me experiencing my childhood or upbringing.
Well, the reason why I had wanted to adopt you because your mom died when you were 9 months, and my brother, he wasn't in your life the way he should have been. And then from what I've saw from with my eyes and that I think that I knew, the issues that were going on in the household where you were reared, the children were, today they were safe. And I'm sure back then there was a lot of abuse going on in that household. So that's why most of the time I would spend as much of my free time that I had available with you. We'd get you on the weekends and then even in the summer. And then after I went to the military, each time I came home to visit, I would always make sure I had you with me. And I spoke with your grandmother to try to get you to get her to allow you to come over to Germany and stay with me over in Germany. And she agreed until, I guess, one of the family members told her that it wouldn't be a good idea because I had even offered to pay her a monthly amount of money for you to come, and she was willing to do that. And that's the reason why, you know, I didn't want you to be reared in that home and going through the abuse that some of the other children had experienced in that household. And I knew you'd have a better future if you were with me.
Right. The next question I want to ask you, while we're on the topic of adoption, there has been a contentious and ongoing debate here in Minnesota regarding the state separating a high number of black children from their families. I know that at the start of my legal process, we were affected by this as my daughter Cherokee's mom and I signed our parental rights over with the promise that the courts and state were going to allow you to adopt her. And I know you made every effort to do so, but was met with lies and opposition that left you without custody, although you were the first and best option legally as family. So do you have any thoughts or concerns that you would like to share about the process and experience?
Yeah, that was an experience there. You know, just from the attitude and then speaking with the foster parents, and I just had that gut feeling and just knew they wasn't going to let me have the baby because the foster parent, she had a lot of input, and she didn't want the baby leaving Minnesota. And so they went on and agreed with her, allowed her friend, whom I don't even think knew the baby, that will let her adopt Cherokee. My mom had got sick, and she had to have emergency surgery, and that had threw everything back on the back burner. And I spoke with the foster parent and told her that I wasn't going to be able to care for a Cherokee right now. But she took it on as me saying I wasn't going to be able to care for her at all, period. And so they, you know, they put whatever they want to put in the judge's ear. He believed them, and he granted custody to another family.
Right, and you had to time off work.
And took a time off work. And then the new adopted parent said that she would let us be still be in the baby's life, but after she won the case, she changed her mind.
Right. Nobody's ever heard or seen anything about Cherokee. But you did training. The state required you to take time off work and come to Minnesota and do training on how to care for her because she was a special needs child, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So the next question I want to ask you, now there was a point in my life where I was a runaway and experienced team homelessness before getting into an independent living program. Yet, because I'm educated and speak what people commonly refer to as very proper English, there's a common belief that I was raised in a good life with privilege. What would you tell others about that?
Well, no, I wouldn't say you was raised in a home with people with privilege. I think a lot of your mannerism was from like the teachers and other people that were in your life during that time, because a lot of your teachers and your coach and stuff, they spent a lot of time with you.
Right. And definitely that's what I tell people.
Yeah, it wasn't privileged, but the Robinsons, you know, the Robinsons, they were semi-educated people. You know, some had their college degrees. There were some that didn't. But I don't believe they were in a practice of saying using broken English when they were speaking. You know, the ain'ts and isms and all that type of stuff. I don't think they, from what I experienced speaking with them, they didn't talk like that.
Right. Also, I've never experienced any sort of major legal trouble while going through my hardships as a teen in Chicago. In fact, we know I found great success in my academic, athletic, like you talked about, artistic, and leadership pursuits at Chicago Vocational High School, which led me to being awarded a scholarship to the University of Minnesota Morris. So how did you feel when you learned of my success and that I was headed to college?
Yeah, I was proud of you, but I was proud, and I didn't really want you to go to Minnesota because that was so far away from home. In the event anything ever happened, it would be too far for us to reach you. I really wanted you to stay here and go to University of Chicago or someplace like that, because you could have went to any university here. And I felt it would be better for you because I had heard rumors about how Minnesota was toward blacks.
So you've been supportive throughout my legal intricacies in Minnesota and have hired attorneys, paid bills, and made it to court dates for me. So what do you think about the Minnesota justice system, my experience here in Minnesota and Minnesota as a whole, from your own experience?
Well, I don't think it's as fair. They don't, in my opinion, I don't think they really look at all of the evidence that was that's presented to them. And then your attorney that you had, he didn't represent you the way I think he should have. And then later on, we found out that he didn't represent a lot of other gentlemen that he the way he should have.
Yeah,
so I believe that you should have had. Yes, I believe you should have had another trial, and they should have looked at all the evidence, because there was evidence that your attorney, he didn't present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So all that was a roller coaster ride.
Right. Lastly, I want to ask, what type of changes have you witnessed in me over the years? Because I've been locked up 10 years, so I'm not the same person I was when I first came in here. And what do you see as my biggest weakness and biggest strength? And what concerns do you have? And what is your hope for me moving forward?
Well, your strengths and weaknesses, I can't. You're a determined person. I know that. You've always been educated, and You strive to better yourself. You refuse to allow a person to say that you're guilty, the system to say that you're guilty, and you know that you're not. So you are a fighter, I know that. And I wish when you get out, I wish you can continue your education and not live in Minnesota. Just continue your education. I believe you'd be successful and help others. Get into volunteering programs that'll help others that has been incarcerated and falsely accused.
So is there anything additional that I didn't ask you that you might want to comment or say or share?
No, not, no, it's not.
Well,
I wish
definitely.
I had more time. Yeah, I wish I had more time, but I am. I have a house full of guests right now. But if I had more time, then I would elaborate a little bit more, but I do not. But I wish you luck, and I can't wait to see you when you are released from the institution.
Well, I definitely want to thank you for, you know, extending your time and doing this interview with me and giving this insight to the listeners. And to the listeners, I pray that you took something of value from my words that you can utilize to join others and I in the fight for healthy societal inclusion and change, along with police and criminal justice reform. I believe the courage of many to take a stand will make a difference. So you and I must be brave in our pursuit to be heard and demand the change we are long overdue. Once again, I can be emailed through the JPay app or website, insert Minnesota for state, and ID number 210006, or you can mail me at Izell Robinson, number 210006, 7600-525th Street, Rush City, Minnesota, 55069. Remember, all positively supportive contact is welcomed and appreciated. Thank you for listening, and thanks to Prison Radio for this much-needed platform of linking prisoners with their communities and families in a healthy way to foster needed dialogue and support.
These commentaries are recorded by Prison Radio.